name's Cole Johnson. I'm 21, and today is the 25th of November, 2017. I'm speaking with Dave Green, who is my great uncle, and we're recording this interview over the phone. Dave, could you introduce yourself?
Dave Green, retired about four times, 74 years old, 21-year Army veteran.
All right, great. And can you tell me about what made you join the military, what got you interested, and kind of your process of going about that, since it's a little unique?
Well, it was kind of forced on me. My birth date is 1 January, and when the draft was in force, the first persons that were, they drafted by date of birth. So the guy in 1 January was drafted first, the guy in 2 January was drafted second, etc., up through, you know, the end of December. And so when I was about to graduate from college, my deferment for college would end, and that was in 1965 when I graduated, so I would have been the first one to have been drafted in 1966 from my county. Was living with a guy that was in military intelligence, was the lead officer for the Army running background investigations out of Columbus, Ohio, where I went to school at Ohio State. And I said, hey, what's the possibility of getting into MI? I did not want to be drafted and thrown into what was needed. I wanted a little choice in my selection. So I volunteered for the draft, or volunteered, I enlisted to be in military intelligence so I could get my schooling. And as of February, I was in the Army. I was in the Army actually just shortly after 66 occurred, because I would have been drafted. I went in February, and I guess I was in school for, as an agent, a credential carrying agent, and that took 9 months, and then I was given a specialized school in photography on the intelligence side, and so I was in school for about a year in Baltimore, and I then went down to a technical unit down in San Antonio, and we were running, I guess you would call them, security investigations or security for mostly nuclear storage facilities from Canada to Mexico, and I was with a unit that was skilled in defense against methods of entry, which is DAME, and defense against sound equipment, which is DAES, and then the third arm of that is photography or photo. And so I had my own dark room with a group of very skilled people doing facility inspections from Canada to Mexico, essentially in the middle part of the country. I served only, I guess, about 5 months there, and there was a ops officer in charge of a detachment that was there and encouraged me to seek a direct commission, which I did, which I received. And I was a sergeant one day, and the next I was a second lieutenant. That's how it wasn't so much that I wanted to go into the military. It was that I was going to be forced to go into the military, and I wanted some say-so in how I was doing it. I guess that answers your question a little long roundabout, but that's it.
Right, right, definitely. And prior to that, you had done a couple years in Air Force ROTC at Ohio State?
Everybody was required to do at least 2 years in a land-grant college, which Ohio State was. I did my 2 years and got out of ROTC policy, never thinking very far ahead. And so I did 2 years of Air Force RASC.
Right. And even though you were kind of forced into it with the draft, it turned out pretty good, and you decided to make a career out of the military?
Well, there was a couple of things that I went as an officer almost immediately to Vietnam, to the 1st Infantry Division, where I served in the 2nd Brigade, 1st Infantry Division during 67-68, mostly 68, November 67 to November 68. During the time of Tet and the May Offensive, I think I have 5 battle ribbons or 5 campaign ribbons for Vietnam. Came back and was, let's see, I'm trying to think of the first assignment back, was to Oklahoma, where I took over the field office in Oklahoma for the intelligence group there, doing essentially background investigations and also assisting the FBI during the time of the student riots and all the student protests against the war. Spent 3 years there, and then was given an assignment, which is now master's producing course. I went to an advanced, instead of going to the, I guess the career course, I went to it was a joint course on intelligence provided by DIA then. And we had all the services represented, plus Coast Guard and civilians in this course. And about that time, I was reaching my end of my commitment, and I started interviewing for jobs on the outside, and found out that my wife was pregnant at that time, and that was considered a pre-existing condition for those civilian employers. And I had no insurance to cover that. And so even though I had multiple job offers, I decided at that time, since I had an awfully good deal with the military as far as hospitalization and health care, that I would stay in the military. Pretty soon, I served 21 years.
Before you knew it.
Just about.
Could you tell me about some of the people that you served with, and if there's anyone that really stuck out in some of the memories that you have of them?
Well, I served with a whole bunch of people. I guess the most important figure, when I was in Europe, I was initially assigned as the assistant G2 at the division for the 3rd Infantry Division. After 18 months, I was afforded the opportunity to become the brigade S2 of the 2nd Brigade, commanding that unit. 2nd Brigade of the 3rd Infantry Division was a man by the name of Jalwin, and he was a full colonel at that time. He had been the executive officer for Al Haig when Al Haig was working for President Nixon, and I was his S2 and a very, very good officer to serve for, a great tactician, and also was had a good political expertise. He went on to become a 4-star general. He was Sink South, and then he became Sinkure and Sacure, and so he got his 4th star and went a long way. He was a tremendous guy to serve with. I learned a great deal from him, and I always remember him, and we kept in contact. He became, when I went back to the States, I went to work in the Pentagon for the then AXI, who now is, I guess, called Disintel, and I was the program and budget officer on the Army staff, and I had an opportunity to be assigned to the director of Central Intelligence Office for one of the major intelligence programs, and I was I guess assigned to DIA as an Army intel officer. And before that happened, I went to talk to General Jowett about the efficacy of doing that, and he says, you know, your Army career is over if you do that. And I says, yeah, but I says, it's going to be a fun job, and it was. And so my last 3 years in the Army were spent with the Director of Central Intelligence, working on his staff, being his front person on one of the major intel programs called the General Defense Intelligence Program, which handled all of the national intelligence programming for the military services and DIA. So that's about how that ended up.
Okay, great. Could you talk about what you thought was the toughest part of being in the military?
I guess it was separation from family, and whether, you know, in Vietnam, because I'd only been married a month and 27 days when I went to Vietnam.
Wow.
Or working in conditions with 14-hour days many times, and then being in Europe 3 years, where I spent 100 days a year in the field. And so you're kind of, you know, always working for the Army, for the government, and sometimes that can be very difficult and straining on your marriage, if you're married, and certainly on the family as you're raising kids. That's probably the toughest part.
Right. I'm sure that's a pretty common answer. And then the last question that I have is, what lessons do you think the military taught you, and if it changed you in any way that you've noticed?
Well, I can tell you I'm always on time. I learned that in Vietnam pretty quick. If you missed your lift ship, you were SOL. So you kind of always paid attention to time, and if the commander said that you had a 7 o'clock briefing, you'd better be there for that briefing. You never just, you know, dragged yourself in a half hour late, and I'm still pretty much that way. And you also get up early in the morning. Your lifestyle changes to, you know, if you're running with troops in the morning, you better be out there to run with the troops. So you learn lessons, I guess, of punctuality, time, and you learn many times, as I did, to be able to function on your own, whether it's leading troops or if you're, you know, doing things independently. And you learn things very quickly, and you become proficient, and you become efficient in the job that you're doing as quickly as possible. I think those are things you learn very, very early on in the military, and it stays with you a long time.
Right. I've definitely noticed at least the time management and that sort of thing, just even in ROTC, getting up early and stuff like that. It's definitely a habit for me. But definitely things that would probably help you out later on in civilian careers, too.
I do believe, I served after I was an independent contractor for a while after I retired, and then was asked to come back to CIA, where I had been, you know, assigned as a military person, and CIA asked me to come back to work. And then a friend of mine was having a little trouble with one of the major programs in the Pentagon, and asked me to come to help him out over there, and I did. Retired then out of DIA, where I was actually the acting director of the General Defense Intelligence Program when I was building that, and has been retired from government service, and then I went to work as a contractor, helping the government do intelligence programming and budgeting, and getting those programs and budgets through Congress as we configured them and as we set them up. So all the early training was rolled into my ability to do that work later on. I also obtained a master's degree in business along the way, so that was helpful also. So.
Right, definitely gave you a lot of great skills to get that specific job.
Well, it gave me confidence that I was able to do the job. And that and the experience that I had, and also actually working as an operational intelligence officer within the military. So all of those things, I knew what was needed. I knew things, how they'd be used within the military, and was able to assist them in putting together a pretty tight budget and keeping all of the services equally unhappy because they never got whatever they wanted. If they left, one of my meetings when I was putting the budget together, and everybody was equally unhappy. I'd done a good job. If somebody left very happy, I'd actually screwed up. I hadn't spread the wealth the way that it needed to be done.
That's funny, yeah. All right. So. Well, that was the last question I had, so thank you for taking the time to share your story with Story Corps, and, yeah, take care.
Okay, thanks, Cole.